I think built in 79, and then the first operational year was 80. So we're, you know, going on a 35-year time series, which is unique in terms of it's a, you know, as you get a time series like that, you get to look at long-term trends, you know, like looking at impacts of climate change or looking at, say, the size and timing of fish that are migrating or their age structure at migration. So when you start to get that kind of a time series, it becomes very valuable for looking at trends in productivity and then connecting, you know, these freshwater processes to marine survival and then, you know, survival in both the near shore and in the Gulf of Alaska. And so you get some indication of, you know, what's going on with ocean processes and growth and survival, as well as connecting it to what's going on in the freshwater here.
You just had kind of a unusual or somewhat significant event. Can you describe what happened?
Right. So, you know, pink salmon, we monitor both adult and juvenile pink salmon. So we count adults as they come in, and we also count their offspring as they leave. And what we had last year was we had the lowest escapement that we'd had. We, you know, and generally in northern southeast Alaska last year, pink salmon didn't return at a very high rate. And so in our long time series, this is the lowest number of pink salmon we had seen, which was just over 600. In addition to that, we had a very warm, wet winter, as people who live in Juneau are well aware. And so that, in addition to some of the impacts we're seeing from long-range climate stuff going on, we had a very early migration. So we had fry coming out this year earlier than we've seen in the 35-year time series. This is the earliest midpoint of when the juvenile pink salmon were migrating out into the ocean.
And has it been gradual, or has it been a sudden pop? Has that worked?
No, so this year is the earliest, but there's been a trend, and we've published research with our collaborators at the University of Alaska on looking at climate change and its impacts on migratory timing. So there's been a consistent, somewhat subtle, but consistent trend towards warming temperature, and it has impacted almost all the species, but pink salmon in particular, in terms of their migratory timing, both the adult timing in terms of what time they enter the system and then the fry when they leave. And, you know, a lot of that is temperature driven because they're cold-blooded.
Can this be attributed to the blob, or is there something else at work here?
I think the more interesting question for us is going to be, how do we integrate the knowledge we have here? Because I'm not a climate scientist in terms of a weather specialist that could model impacts of ocean temperatures on these temperatures here. But what we can do is connect the processes we're seeing here and integrate them to look at marine survival impacts. So we can see, you know, warm, wet winter in Juneau and migratory timing that's shifting earlier. And how is that? How well are they then going to integrate into the, you know, the nearshore environment, where you're looking at timing with predators and plankton and things like that that are very much temperature driven? And then how are they going to impact and affect processes in the North Pacific, and how well do they maybe represent what's going on with other salmon species or even groundfish species are some of the important questions we're trying to look at. You know, so we have a part of the puzzle here, but then without this monitoring, how well can you connect those two? You know, so I think we're real interested to see what, if any, impacts we can measure from these really extremely warm ocean conditions.